Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. It's Teresa and America. We're here on In the Open.
Hi, guys.
Today, we're going to talk about I can't stop comparing myself to others, which is one of those stupid mind traps that we all get into.
Yeah.
That makes us so sad. Does it make you feel sad when you compare yourself to others?
It makes me feel sad and it makes me question why. I don't think I get down that path of why until I kind of... So this is what happens in my brain. And I think it may happen with a lot of people where you may be like on social media and you're just like scrolling. And you're like, oh, look, their life is so pretty and powerful. Oh, look, they're doing so many great things. And we forget, I've had this conversation with a couple of folks in the office when we're thinking about doing that. And you get into this trap that is just a hole that you're digging yourself into.
Yeah.
And inevitably, you come out feeling like, and that's the trap that I think we should try to avoid, especially when we are in these spaces where we're kind of bombarded with this. Somebody called it the highlight reel. Emily called it that in our office. You know, she's, it's a highlight reel. You're only putting up what's the best thing. It's like, that's so true. So a lot of people focus more on the beautiful things and positive things that are happening instead of like the crappy things that we experience.
Yeah. I think part of the problem too is that we always compare ourselves to others, but social media is a little crappy thing that takes all of those experiences that would happen in real life.
Yeah.
And it puts it in a freaking stream for you, like yeah. one right after the other.
Yeah.
When you ask the question, like, let's do a podcast and I can't stop comparing myself to others, I had to think about like, okay, when does this happen, you know? And like, sometimes it would happen when I'm watching someone talk and I'm like, gosh, I wish I could be like that.
Yeah,
you know, like,
yeah.
Why don't I look that good or whatever it is? And yeah. Then it's like this whole thing about like, I am crappy and this sucks. And I'm just never going to be like, I'm never going to get my crap together.
Yeah, I totally like that. Feel that.
Or it's like, if I say something, you know, that thing where you do where you like say something and you're like, why did I say that? Blah, blah, blah. And then you go through that whole thing in your head where you're like analyzing what you just said and how it sounds so stupid. And somewhere in the mix of that, I'm just like, why can't you just be like, who, the mysterious person who has their crap together?
Yeah.
So like other person can be like nothingness that is some expectation of who I should be.
Right.
And then sometimes it's like actually a person. I'm like, oh, they talk so well.
I definitely get that. Man, it's hard on you as the individual though. Like I feel that I struggle most with this when I'm struggling on my own, like something's not working out the way that I think it should be. Mm-hmm. And then I see somebody like get what I want and it's like, damn it. Why? Why can't I do that?
Yeah.
And sometimes it can be like attached to like big life events. Maybe you like change a job or you're looking to move somewhere. You get this fabulous new house or something. You're just like, why can't I do that? And that's where the question comes up. Like, it comes back to me, like, why? Why can't I have that? And I hate feeling that way because it's envy, right? In some way, it's attached to envy.
Yeah.
And then I feel so sickened by having that envious feeling. But at the same time, I'm like, hello, you have other things happening, you know, but it's harder to look at that other aspect of it.
Yeah. It's really interesting to me because if you Google this topic, like so much of the advice is about other people aren't perfect or maybe you should stay off social media.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or like not everybody has their things. And yes, everything that we know about like the social media is like the perfect reel or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But I don't think until you and I have this conversation that I realize like a big part of it is not, it's about like, hey, sometimes a negative voice in your head is trying to tell you something that's missing in your life.
Yeah.
So like, if we could take an approach where I'm like, okay, let me figure out where I feel the most strong feelings and what is my brain trying to tell me about something? And like, when it comes to comparing myself to others, my brain is telling me what I want. I want to be better at speaking without an anxiety brain. I want to look better, you know, like I want to work on my weight, you know, and I think that there's a thing in there that's like honoring the hurt inside.
I do get what you're saying. It's really looking at it the way that I'm kind of interpreting it is you are being given an example, like most often a visual or visceral kind of example that says X thing is something that I want, need, whatever, but I may not be prepared to actually voice that. But when it happens and it's in your face, you're like, I do want that.
Yeah.
And it's that moment that then you have to look back. You have to turn it back on you and be like, okay, well, why can't you? What's happening, right? You can make the choice in many cases of going down that path and getting into this negative place. And sometimes I allow myself to do that, to just feel the way that I feel for a few minutes. And then I'm just like, okay, dude, you got to snap out of it. Because either you continue to look at X example of whatever, or you do something to actually move in the direction of getting you to that example.
And I think some people can get really stuck on just the comparison side. Like, why am I not? Why am I not? Why am I not? And I think one thing is to go, why am I not? Okay, there's something that I'm comparing myself. What am I missing? What is it that I want?
Yeah.
And just like you said, it's like, yes, you're wallowing. But at some point, like, does something trigger us to go to the next step and say to ourselves, like, what is this saying about what's missing in my life in that void, the emptiness, right? That we're trying, that is painful. Like,
yeah,
if we're using like the experience of pain to teach ourselves something or be able to look at that and say, and the pain I'm feeling and the thoughts that I'm having is telling me something that's really important that I want. And I have to ask myself, have I paid attention to this thing?
I wonder if many times we're kind of ignoring what we really want for various reasons, right? Maybe it may seem like it's a hard thing to achieve. So we kind of put it on the sidelines. And it only becomes apparent to us again when it's in your face.
I think those are the hardest with like big things.
Yeah.
If you're poor and you're comparing yourself to people who have like the security of money, for example, or love, attention, connectedness with others. Like, I think this also happens if you're very lonely. So these are like big, it's like, yes, little problems can be little problems, but they're also like big problems. And the bigger the problem, the more complicated it is. I think the harder it is to move away from the rumination part where you're like comparing to the what can I do, because that problem feels so big.
I'm thinking while you're talking about this, because I wonder if one of the things that tends to happen, and I think this is the case, and kind of thinking through some conversations that I've had with people, the reality of the situation is that there may be things that you can do to change whatever circumstance, whatever it is, whether it's a big thing, like you're thinking about, you know, I'm lonely, I want to interact more with people, I want to change my job because I'm kind of struggling and kind of doing what I need to do and what I want to do, to something minor, you know, which is like, I'm going to stop drinking soda, you know, something that's something minor for me. But it's this idea of having to make the decision to say, I can do better. So it's a lot of negative and positive self-talk that I think has to occur at the same time, where you're like negative monster, just like, oh, you don't have all these things, you know, and then your positive is like, no, I can and I will stop it, you know, and you got to like squash it. But it is this aspect of like, for me, it's a visceral reaction, which it's just like, where is it coming from? And that's, I think, the key for people to be able to move past it. Because for some people, for example, when you think about being poor, where you may struggle for money, it could be that today I have a really good job and I'm doing very well for myself. But if I come from a place where my family continuously struggled, I may always have this mind frame that I'm always struggling, even though I still have enough, you know? So it is about understanding that to be able to move past it.
that does happen for a lot of people, like especially in comparisons. Yeah. If you're reality checking too, you're right, right? Like, because you might not be in that situation and you might find like, oh, what I'm comparing myself to others is rooted in some pain that I'm past. Like, I'm not even in that situation anymore. Like, what I have is enough, but I still am doing this old thing.
Yeah.
And comparing myself because I'm afraid or still stuck in that space.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I also wonder, you know, in many situations, I think a lot of people, because they may not feel comfortable in talking about this feeling that you kind of, and really having open conversations about it and not just like, oh, I saw this on Instagram and it's like, whatever, it's just another thing that happens. But it's you kind of focusing on one aspect. Since we don't have open conversations about it, where I'm coming to you and be like, you know, I saw she got a house the other day and I totally want that house.
Yeah.
But because we don't have those conversations, we just kind of ruminate in these negative feelings and are not able to process it. Because it's okay to feel that way, but you have to understand why. I think sometimes it happens more so, you know, maybe when you're with a partner, when in a couple or something, where you're like, oh, look at that couple. They look like they have all their stuff together. And it's like, what? And you actually have a conversation with them and they're like, no.
So one of the things you said, I brought up something in my mind that especially is problematic for two reasons, right? We're really bad with handling jealousy. We're really bad. If somebody acts jealous, we don't like it. Maybe because it brings up our own feelings of jealousy. And I think we want to squash it in other people by telling people, like, I don't know, we get judgy about people when they feel jealous. So we don't support people in what, and that's basically what you said, right? That's one thing. I think the other problem is, outside of just that jealousy issue, we also want the person to change so bad. So like, if I say, oh, I just wish I could look like that person. Mm-hmm. And your friend knows that you've been talking about your weight for 2 years while you continue to engage in bad habits and is frustrated because you're not making a change. That's hard because you're stuck in this period of like, I want to get better, but I can't. And it's so hard. And this and other people around you are getting sick and tired of your
non-movement.
That when you say something like, oh, I wish I could look like that, your partners are like, girl, I'm done. You know, I'm sick and tired of hearing this crap. So let's start. So jealousy. Do we handle jealousy well?
No, we don't. Jealousy, I think, is seen as a very negative feeling. So if you experience it and vocalize it, people are like, dude, what is wrong with you? Like, why would you even say that? Because the idea is that you're supposed to be happy. And it's not that you're not happy for that individual. Not at all. You're not taking away from their positive feelings or whatever positive feeling you have, because you could also be happy for the person. At the same time, it's more about you as the individual being like, but I want that too.
I experienced that a lot when I was going through fertility treatments, because we were like, we had a lot of problems.
I think that's a tough situation for a lot of women, because as women, you have this idea that, I don't know all women, but many women, that's just a part of who you are as a person and what identifies you as a person. So you struggle with, what am I if I'm not going to be able to have a baby or things like that.
Or being happy for someone in a big event, life event.
Yeah.
Like graduating college. I'm trying to think of what things, like, because they're big events, but they take a lot of effort, or something is a barrier. So if you're feeling jealous, it's like that you're talking about, like, it's hard. Because other people are going to be like, you shouldn't be focusing on you. This isn't about you. This is about them.
Yeah.
And then.
I love that voice. Thank you.
That's our fear, is that if we say that to our mothers, and then so you have that voice in your head where you're like, oh, I shouldn't feel this way. And like, so I'm not going to talk about it.
Right. And then you eat that resentment. Mm-hmm. That's what happens. Yeah. One of my good friends said to me, And I'm sure she saw it somewhere, you know, she's like, your timeline is your timeline. It's not anybody else's. And I love that, but at the same time, I'm like, yeah, dude, I get it, but can I live it? You know, yeah. Like that's a very different mindset, and you being able to actually embrace it and say, I'm okay with whatever I'm going through. And, you know, we're talking about our experiences, but oftentimes I have to also think about the from the outside looking in, you know, it really is about this aspect where you're comparing, and the comparing aspect to all of this comes down to, what are you seeing in X thing that pushes you to have this feeling? That's, I think, the core of what you have to get to then be able to move past it.
That's what I was, yeah, saying at the beginning, right? Like, you have to get to the root of what is making you feel these negative emotions to understand what you want or need. Your friend, though, that's interesting. And before we move on, because talking about why it's so hard for other people, your friend, she did the other thing that happens with jealousy. It's like, if they don't want to be like, oh, you're being jealous and selfish or rude or whatever, they also don't like your pain or suffering and they can't handle it. So they also will respond with trite comments like, you should just be grateful for what you have, or just it's horrible, because I think she was really trying to help you, but she didn't sit with your suffering. Yeah. You know, she didn't say it's okay to feel sad, and like, it is a sad thing.
Well, she did. I only gave you one piece of the convo, but yes.
Okay,
yes,
but stereotyping.
You're right. Many times that happens.
Yeah.
It's because it hurts to see somebody else feel pain, feel what I call a negative feeling, right? Something that causes hurt. And if you're not comfortable in processing that with somebody, it can range, right? Where you're just sitting with me and just helping me process the fact that I feel like crap about this.
Yeah. I've started to ask people. So if I start comparing myself to others and I feel very sad, it's been helpful for me to be like, I just really need to be sad about this, and I want you to be sad with me.
Yeah. Sometimes I haven't done that with sadness. I've done that with anger.
Well, we all know anger is your happy feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yes. And, you know, in some instances I have done better where I'm just like, you know, I feel sad about this. I don't want you to do anything about it. I don't need you to do anything. I just want you to let me feel this way. I just need you to be with me. That's it. The person I was with was really good. You know, he was just like, it's okay. Feel what you feel. And it surprised me, because most often you do get like these trite responses like, oh, you should be blessed. Thank you. I am blessed, but I can still feel like crap sometimes.
Yeah.
But I wanted to get back to a point you made about jealousy for a second. So the jealousy aspect, right, that we as, and I don't know if it's an American thing or not, but it really isn't an accepted emotion. It's a negative emotion that is oftentimes going to be pushed to the side because you're not allowed to express it. So it's maybe creating the space for that. The other aspect that you were kind of talking about, listening to somebody share their feelings about an experience thing that they're having. And I'm like, the solution is you're not going to drink any more soda. That's something simple. Okay. But we're going to go to that because I used it before. So if that's the choice that you're making, to not drink any more soda, and then tomorrow you go to the grocery store and buy another pack of soda, then you're like working against yourself. And if you're the person on the receiving end where you're consistently trying to be supportive and just listening and helping that person go through their experience, but nothing is changing, then it can definitely be frustrating because you're like, I don't know what to do because I'm trying to help you, but you're not doing anything.
Yeah. That is a sign that you're stuck in the comparison phase.
Yeah.
If you keep comparing yourself to others, like over and over another, over, and you feel that jealous feeling, like, I wish I could be that. I wish I could be that. That's part of that time in our lives where we are complaining, because it's like, I need to complain and complain and complain until enough is enough. I've complained enough that I'm finally pissed to do something.
Something. Yeah.
But that hill or mountain between comparison and complaining to doing something is huge.
Oh yeah.
Depending on like how hard it is you have to do the thing, and that hill doesn't just go away. Like, you complain and complain, you compare and compare, and then you are like, enough is enough, and you make decisions and you try and you just have to get over again. And that is the process of working hard to get better.
Yeah.
But it's why people are totally fine and good at being with us when we are complaining about the change, if it feels like we're moving forward. But if we're like not doing anything and then we compare ourselves to someone else or complain, you know, sometimes people are going to be like, I'm so pissed at you. Like, I'm so irritated.
Yeah, then do something. Yeah.
And I think that like the only thing I could do about that space, like I used to just get sad or mad and that just entered in the box of sadness or madness. But if I'm working in my better self, like I'm taking the thing, like they're getting mad at me and I'm like, okay, you know what, man, this is a sign. Like I need to put that in my box of motivation to be like, when is that, those little things going to add to the enough is enough so that I can do it.
I also believe that that happens internally. Like I know that I've done that where I am completely like, I wish this, I did that. And it's like, you know what? And I use curse words, you know, and I'm like, that's it. F it. You keep saying this, but you're not doing anything.
Yeah.
And if you want something to change, you have to do something. That's where finally it's like a slap in the head for me. It's like, okay, that's it. That's it. And so it is about you getting, I don't know if it's angry enough, but enough gumption to be like, forget this. I'm going to go and do it.
I'm going to take all that negative energy. I'm going to put it into something to motivate me to get better versus, and like all the signs that like, I can't just stay in this space anymore. You know, I'm also now pissing off the people around me and I can't do that because that's like the limit. Like all the people who love you are telling you you're reaching their limit.
Yeah.
And that's like a thing, you know?
Completely. It is important to be supportive. Definitely. Find somebody that you can share your feelings with, your complaining with, whatever. But don't get stuck in that. Use the people around you to help you.
And it's interesting because of stupid thoughts that I have, like me comparing myself to others isn't a prevalent stupid thought that I have. And so there are so many other bad, horrible, negative thoughts that I have that overcome the comparison ones that until we talk today, I don't think I paid attention to like, oh, these are thoughts that are important because they're trying to tell me something. And probably because we talked today, I'm going to be more attentive to when I have those thoughts. Because jealousy is a big, big feelings with a big F. Mm-hmm. And I think it does. I'm like, now that I'm more aware, I'm like, oh, I'm going to go back and kind of take a look at when I am comparing myself to others, because it's not a normal way of negative thinking for me. So if I do have that thought, I can at least pay attention to it and say, oh, your brain is trying to tell you something important that it cares about. And maybe that's something to consider for if I want to improve myself, you know, like this might be something to look at.
In conversations that I've had with some of the folks in the office and stuff around all these issues, we were thinking about, I don't know if it's only happening to females. I really don't think so. Okay. One, because I've spoken to some males and they're like, yeah, I get that. But within like the male kind of world, it's less likely that they're going to have conversations about this. So it's more readily accepted in the female world, right? Totally. Where you're like, oh, look at that. She has that. Or, oh, look, she has a boyfriend. Oh, look, she has her life together. She knows how to speak. She knows how to dance. She whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But it's something I think that occurs across all different lines because it is identifying something that you may be longing for.
Right.
I think that's the word, right? That you're not sure you want it. And then you see and you're like, oh yeah, I do want that.
Longing is a great word because it's more than just want.
Yeah.
That's the key to the comparison to others. It's a sign of a deep longing for something missing in your life.
I think those are very valid feelings. They are. So when you start looking like at your Instagram or Facebook, whatever, you know, when you start comparing yourself to others, I think for me, what I come to understand is one, I have stopped really following things that I can compare myself to. I don't get down that vein. So what I have like on my feed are like pictures of puppies. They make me happy.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I'm always interested in like improving how I eat and stuff. So I follow people that put up really good recipes that I can try and do on my own.
Yes.
So it's more about areas of improvement and things that make me content instead of, oh, I'm going to go down this hole of negativity. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think it's okay to unfollow,
yeah,
gut check the people that you want to be in your life and just be like, no, you're not doing anything for my mental health here. And just like move them.
You're so funny because like I think our brains naturally went to comparing ourselves to others when others look like they're doing well. But yeah, when you talk about unfollowing people, I had to unfollow people because I was comparing not myself per se, but like comparing other people and judging other people based on what I did not think was healthy. So if I'm being judgy, right? Like,
yeah,
I was like, okay, this is a sick thing. So the pattern of comparison isn't like only because you wish you were like somebody. Like it could be like, oh, I'm comparing because I think people are horrible or something. And
okay, I get that.
I mean, I think this is today, especially with social media. So there's like twofold. There's like two sides. You're like looking at all the people you wish you could be like, and then you're also looking at all the people that you are not like. And this is especially true for like politics, right? And like unfollowing has helped my mental health immensely. I only follow food things now. I told my whole network I was unfriending everyone. So now when people even comment, if I post on something, I'm like, oh, like you are my friend, but I'm sorry. I thought I unfriended you or like unfollowed. That's horrible. But I just told everyone, like, I just can't. I have to check out from this modality of being in social media and like that because it was so unhealthy. Because it does that thing where it is the reel of comparisons to what you want to be, comparisons to the people you hate. It's horrible.
I am part of some groups like that I follow and that I'm part of, that what they help me to see is maybe the progress that I'm making, which is important because it's kind of getting to what you're saying, right? Where it's not always what you want from somebody else, but what they're showing you that you're also attaining. Sometimes it's hard to recognize that we are also doing good things. It's hard for people, I think, to just say, you did X thing. Good job. You need a gold star.
Yeah.
Like, I need gold stars on my wall, man. You know, like that'd be fabulous if somebody would be like, America, you rock. Put our star, you know? And we do that for other people, but we don't. It's not as easy for us to do that back to us.
To give ourselves positive credit.
Yeah. Yeah.
We do.
And sometimes that may help.
It's probably a good habit if I catch myself comparing myself to other people to stop and say, well, let me ask myself what I do to meet those goals and like give myself credit for that.
Yeah.
And to me, that's very close to also accepting what is and being okay with it.
This leads me to like think about all the people that I interact with. And, you know, at the end of the day, one of the things that you're saying is about you being genuine. And I think that's something that's so unique to you that despite whatever situation you're in, you are always genuine. And that comes off as just part of who you are. And for people that don't get to experience that, you know, where you are kind of living like it's not a false existence, but it's just a really pulled together version of your best self. And it's like,
yeah,
can I just see the real
you? I call that fake Teresa.
Yeah.
That's exhausting. You know? This is why I've lived more of my life trying to just be myself, because trying to be that other person is exhausting. It takes so much energy. I'm too tired.
So we've talked a lot about comparing yourself, your life, whatever, to others. I think what's important is that you recognize that it's okay to have that feeling. It's totally normal. It's good to have somebody to help walk you through that feeling, exist with you with that feeling so that you can feel whatever way you need to. And then kind of think on what you're hoping for, what you're longing for, so that you don't get stuck, because you don't want to get stuck in that feeling.
Yeah.
It's okay to have it, but don't let it engulf you.
Yeah. And then where possible, honor the best parts of who you are and see the good that you are and be comfortable with yourself. I think that's part of the like learning to like yourself.
Yeah, definitely. Give yourself gold stars.
Keep on fighting in the open.
Thanks, guys.